During the 1950s and 1960s, traffic volumes on the Pacific Highway increased dramatically, more than quadrupling pre-war figures. Increasing traffic congestion on the two-lane highway made improvements imperative.
Overtaking lanes were really relatively rare at that stage. Overtaking lanes, in fact, I don't recall them being used anywhere except as climbing lanes. At that stage, the only facility for that third lane was in fact climbing lanes, which all went back to the what heavy trucks were in use at that stage being relatively low powered and crawling up hills very slow. And the section from down around Bulladela, which was relatively new at that stage, was considered to be, you know, one of the very good sections of highway because it had climbing lanes on nearly every hill.
Deviations and road widenings were welcomed, but when towns were bypassed, new problems emerged for local populations. Terry O'Brien, former engineer based at Port Macquarie.
Well, the one at Port Macquarie, for instance, was my first involvement. The only snag was that when people came up from Kew through this winding section through the forest, got out onto this brand new road, they just kept going, and that was open just before Christmas, and then the people would ring from Kempsey to the motels at Port Macquarie and say, oh, cancel my booking because I'm now at Kempsey, I'm heading north. And we stopped a couple of vehicles after they'd gone past this turn-off, and the driver said, yes, I saw the sign, I told my wife and mother-in-law that Port Macquarie was off to my right, and they said, don't be stupid, this is the way we've always come. So he said, I just kept going.
The local establishments at Port Macquarie were not so happy about the new bypass.
Hated it. I didn't want to be bypassed. The commercial people didn't want to be bypassed. But the highway used to go into Port Macquarie, right into the middle of Port Macquarie. That was one of the first that was built out of town. And the dire consequences were forecast. What a godsend it was. Made Port Macquarie.
Bangalore was an example where the traffic was just nose to tail for long periods. And, it really divided. And now that they bypassed it, it's a lovely little town. Totally different. The towns, they seem to stagnate for a while. They don't seem to know how to handle being bypassed initially. But then after a few years, they seem to go from strength to strength when they realise that there is another life without all the traffic roaring through the town.
Ron Smythe, a former divisional engineer with the DMR, recalls.
Raymond Terrace was bypassed, but that bypass is now being bypassed again. In fact, it's opening this week. That's one of the mistakes that the DMR made in those days, was that they bypassed the main street of Raymond Terrace with another road, and then the council would allow development to happen on the bypass, and that's exactly what happened at Raymond Terrace. That bypass that was built then has become choked up with service stations, restaurants, houses, etc., and become a suburban street once again. So the current bypass will bypass that, and hopefully there'll be no development allowed on it.
Much of the DMR's activities to improve the highway centred around the works depots, often in remote areas. Leo D'Adam, a former divisional engineer at Port Macquarie, remembers.
In those days, up to when I got there, the engineers out on work sites had to camp in tents and paid for it. They paid $5 a week for it to live in a tent.
Brian Pearson also spent a year with the DMR at the Port Macquarie Works Office.
There was always an extra tent, and I didn't know what that tent was used for. One day I poked my head inside and it was full of empty bottles. And I learnt from the foreman in charge of that camp it was traditional practice, and when the tent couldn't take any more, he loaded all the bottles into a lorry and took them away to a dump. For the sake of peace, I didn't want to interfere with that practice.
They were truly frontier days.
When we took the pay down from Bulladeedle to Karoo, we used to take a shotgun.
We had our own bed, you know. The beds were provided, and a cupboard alongside the bed, and a chair you could sit in. No carpets on the floor. The tents were boarded up to about 2 foot height. We had a cook, Edgar, as I remember him. When he was sober, produced reasonable meals.
Don McDean is a former labourer, ganger and bulldozer driver. He worked on the Bulladeedle to Karoo section of the highway during the 1950s.
We had a little 10x10 igloo thing for each bloke. Oh, it wasn't too bad. It was had a big galley, cook your own feed. Used to have a bloke in the yard, and he'd have the water boiling for you when you got home and the fire lit to cook your tea, and had the hot water in that there for you to have your shower, and it was pretty crummy showers too. Oh yeah, we used to just have a big barbecue, and the pipes for the hot water, they run through the big barbecue and up into a 244-gallon drums stuck together, and that was our hot water supply.
So what was the atmosphere like in those camps then? Was it good?
Oh, fairly good. It was what you made it. You know, sometimes it used to get a little bit obstropolous, but used to quieten down.
Anyone ever complain about the conditions?
Well, it wasn't much good of complaining because you didn't get anything done for you. Yeah, well, them days we had to nap all the big stone down to a certain size, and then they used to put the grid rollers over it. Once we got them down to, say, 6 inches, see, some of the rock used to be up to 2 foot across. We used to have to bash them down to that size. You had to more or less look for the grain in the rock, and if you knew where to hit, they'd fall apart fairly easy. But if you didn't, you could bash there all day.